Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Brown, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, it's so nice of all of you to join us tonight on this almost Memorial Day weekend as we're approaching. Summer is hopefully around the corner. Doesn't feel like it right now here in New York. It got a little chilly, very damp, kind of rainy. But we're hoping to have a wonderful Memorial Day. For those of you who are single out there, I am doing a singles event on Sunday, May 29th, and it will be at Belmont Lake State Park, and that's on Long Island. It's from 1 to 6. I'll be doing a lecture on soulmates, how to manifest and keep one, and I will be doing readings. So also be like other love-minded people there, canoeing, rowing, and many other events, including a barbecue. So maybe this will be your time to find love by the lake. So hopefully you'll join me at Belmont Lake State Park. Now, Nicole, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderfully, thank you.
Okay, did you have a good week?
I did. I was a little under the weather all week, though. I think being run down and running around as much as I do was finally catching up with me. On top of lovely allergies. So, the universe kind of gave me no choice but to take a little breather there for a couple days.
I know.
But that's about it.
And with everybody mowing the lawns, everybody's been doing it around here in my new neighborhood.
I think that's really what's doing it to me, to be honest. So
I know, and it's all the grass, and I had the windows open, and, you know, everybody was mowing the lawn and blowing the blowers, and, boy, I could feel it in my throat today. I was like, boy, there's a lot of grassing and flowering out there. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I feel the same way. And, of course, I'm so glad that you could join us. I know that you were rushing a little late from work, so you haven't been able to log on.
Well, actually, I am logged on right now, and I see that we've got several callers here. My internet has finally decided that it was going to cooperate with me. So luckily, you being the host that you are, you killed my time here so that I can get everything underway properly. So you want to just jump into line one over here?
Sure, that'll be wonderful.
All right.
Never
so just so the person
the
knows that we're – what's that?
We never screen the first call, so we don't know who you
are.
Yeah,
we never
screen
the first
call.
It looks like Florida. Well, just so the person knows that we're addressing them, we're going to go with the last four digits, 6047. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And who is this?
My name is Nancy.
Nancy, and you are calling from Florida?
Yes.
Okay. So did you have some question you wanted answered or some guidance that you need tonight?
Yes, I had maybe to get an insight on, there's a guy that I talk to, something's going on where he's not calling me or responding to my calls, and I just want to know if you see what's going on with him and if you see him calling me soon.
Okay. Is this a long-distance romance?
In a sense, he's about an hour away.
Okay. And how long have you been with him, by the way?
About almost 9 months we've been talking now.
Talking but not dating or seeing each other?
Not, I would say, we see each other maybe once or twice a month. And, you know, not in a relationship, I would say, serious.
Okay, because it looks as if right now he's not being very honest with you. And for someone you've been talking to for 9 months, it's really not very nice that he doesn't return your calls. Are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, he's hot and cold. I'm sort of like a pattern.
Well, because he's, you know, Nicole's going to laugh when I say this word. You know, he's the classic commitment phobic. You know, they sort of, sometimes they come on in the beginning warm and bring us in, and then as soon as, you know, we're sort of, you know, they've got us, then they start cooling it off again and artificially controlling how close we get by not allowing us to see them or talking to us. I mean, an hour away is not that far away, but it's him wanting to control how he feels for you. There's no lack of him caring for you in these cards, but this is a man who doesn't want a relationship. Are you aware of that?
I'm not 100%, no.
Have you ever talked about it? Have you ever used the R word? You know, the relationship word?
He's mentioned it. You know, he would say, you know, if I were ready, you would be the one, and, you know.
Okay, now you see, though, how old is this man, by the way?
He's 5 years younger than I am. He's 34.
Okay, because he's the generation that my daughter is, and you're a little bit part of that generation, but you're almost into the next one. But it's a generation that they can't commit to the word relationships. It's booty calls, friends with benefits, hookups, and you know, and it's almost frightening because it's a mind game that they're playing. I mean, we've had people on the phone, and Nicole can attest to this, that have been together 5 years and they don't call it a relationship. I mean, that's a joke at this point. But this man is, you know, playing you with the card that, you know, maybe, you know, in the future. It looks as if you had been a little bit of a closet commitment yourself, a freight commitment phobic yourself. Like maybe you weren't really ready to commit either. But at this point, are you starting to realize that this relationship or this whatever it is without commitment is painful?
In a sense, yes. Could be, I guess.
Do you love him?
I don't know about love. I'm very interested, and I'd like to see him more, you know, to get to know him more on a one-to-one basis. I like him a lot. I like so far what I see, but
have you, I mean, it looks as if he talks and sees other people. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, he's mentioned it.
Okay, so, I mean, basically this to him is, you know, he has you, he is, you know, his one foot with his ex, one foot with somebody else. This is a guy who, you know, has massive fears of abandonment. He can't be alone. And yet he's not able to commit to one person. There is a younger man who died that knows him. Do you know who that could be?
No,
could have been,
no.
Because this person is saying that, you know, he cares about you, but he has really no intention of bringing this anyway forward anytime soon. I mean, in terms of, like, women not being enslaved to men, we don't want to have this master-slave going on where the man owns us, but at this stage, you know, he snaps his fingers and you jump. And if he, you know, doesn't want to talk to you, he doesn't. You know, soulmate relationships or any relationship that's healthy are two equals. I mean, if you, you know, if you called me, I would call you back. It's really a power play. It's really mean. And you're an older soul, and older souls are too good. I can't state this enough. We're actually too good, and we take too much crap. If a man did this to your daughter, would you think it's okay?
No.
And that's why I want you to start loving yourself the way you would love, you know, you have children, because there's children in this picture.
Yeah, I have a daughter, yes.
Okay, because that's what I thought. The way that you love your own daughter, I mean, this is not very good. You're showing them that men can, you know, kind of have their cake and eat it too. They can, you know, brush us off when they want to. I mean, this might have been something that this is the level of relationship you could handle because you've been hurt in the past. But this mm-hmm. guy doesn't have any intention of moving it forward. And, you know, even if, you know, he were your friend, if you called a friend, wouldn't they call you back or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have the right to be angry about this. I mean, I don't see that he wants to move it forward. If you confront it on him, on this issue, he may run from you. But I think you're better off to know now that he's going to run than to string along forever with this.
Right.
For your daughter's sake, it would be good for her to see you in a relationship where a man treats you as his equal and well. In the future, you're supposed to have a really nice man and perhaps another child. Either he has one or you will have one of your own. And you have a wonderful five-year period opening up. You really do. But you really deserve better than this. I don't know if you have a grandma who passed away. Do you remember her at all?
Yeah.
She's saying you deserve much, much better. And, you know, even addressing him with this issue, I would advise you to say, look, I don't know what we are to each other, but I thought we were at least friends, and friends do return calls. And that, you know, this isn't acceptable behavior. And if you're not worthy of a phone call or a text, this isn't going to work. Because you're starting to get a little depressed. There's some depression in these cards. And I don't want you to fall into depression, which is a lot of anger turned inward and a feeling of hopelessness. Because this guy is a major commitment phobic. You do have your own issues of commitment. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay, so this relationship could just be serving, you know, just a little bit of a wake-up call to you that love or relationship without commitment can't grow. And, you know, in the future, you know, if a man said to me, well, if I were to get involved, it would be you. I'd say, see ya, honey. You know, I'm not waiting around for you to decide when you're ready. So you're kind of giving him a lot of wiggle room. He cares about you, but again, this isn't going to go anywhere forward for a long time because he's not ready. He has his cake and eat it too. He has you. He has this. You know, he still talks to his ex. Does he ever talk to you about her?
No.
He's still got 1 foot texting her and, you know, 1 foot chat room and calling somebody else. So just for your own benefit, you have a wonderful 5-year period opening up. I would be honest with him. Do you want more from the relationship? Do you want to see him more?
Yes, I would like to.
And you haven't mentioned that to him?
Not really, no.
Okay, so he's not a mind reader. You know, my feelings are we have to tell people what we mean, say what we mean what we say without being mean about it. Be quite honest that you were very hurt and upset when he didn't answer your calls. He's a narcissist. He's a bit of a manipulator. He'll tell you, well, I was working. I'm sorry. I was over. Whatever. In this day and age of cell phones, you've got 10 seconds to text me or call me and say, I'm working. I miss you. I'll speak to you soon. And, you know, in this way, you're taking a little control over this. You know, this man is snapping his fingers and you're jumping. And I don't think that's at this stage of your life. You want a relationship like that?
No.
It's not good for our self-esteem, for one thing. So I'm just saying, for you, there's a really nice guy coming, a really soulmate love, but you have to be ready for it. It looks like you've been hurt in the past, and so, you know, you might have not been afraid of commitment. It looks like you did throw yourself into a relationship that you got hurt, and then we become a closet commitment phobic. We didn't start out that way, but now that you've become afraid of commitment, God has brought you another commitment phobe just to show, look, you've got to overcome this fear and do that prayer that we say almost every week to everyone. Pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. And, you know, see what it brings. Because your daughter needs to see that, you know, what she's seeing is love starts out good and then it stinks. And she's about 10 years old or so?
Yeah, she's 10.
Okay, because that's what your grandma said. She's 10, and that generation of children is starting to get, they're not even going to have booty calls and friends with benefits and hookups. they're going to be in separate rooms watching, you know, they'll have their iPods, their computers, the girls will have their vibrators, the guys will have their porn, and they're not going to connect.
Okay.
God is really getting afraid that our children are seeing love is good and then it stinks, love is good and it stinks. They're not even going to want to play the game. So for her sake, there's a wonderful man coming who will treat you as an equal. You don't want to be mommy to a boy with this guy. Like, you got to call him up and say, why didn't you call me? Like, you're mommy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
When people care about us, they want to talk to us. They want to be in our life. Commitment phobics are not honest people. Even if he were dying to see you, he'd hold back because he doesn't want to relinquish control. They won't surrender to love. They won't. Not only won't they commit to it, they won't surrender to it. So, you know, at this point, be honest with him and say, where is this going? I'm really looking for a committed relationship. If that's not what you're looking for, you know, let's, you know, end this with that drama and trauma. I wish you well, but I have to find someone who wants to be with me. And taking 2 feet out, he may think about it and miss you and come back. But at this point, you know, in the laws of physics, things will continue the way they continue until some obstacle begins to stop this. So, you know, you're the one who's going to cry uncle and say, I've had enough of this.
Should I try to contact him and talk about this, or do you see that he's going to contact me?
I think he's going to keep you stringing along a while. He seems to be wying and dining somebody new right now. So that means he doesn't have very much time for you. So if that one falls apart, you know, he'll be calling you. So, you know, if I were you, you don't have to do anything because when he calls you, you can just say what you have to say. But you could also say, or you could say it now. I'm just afraid you're going to sit and get depressed because you're letting this, you know, this man call all the shots. You may want him to know that his behavior has made you not want to be with him. You know,
okay.
Let him miss you.
Okay.
Either way, you can do it, but when he speaks to you, I would be very honest with him at this point, that this is maybe what you thought you wanted, but it isn't what you really wanted.
Okay. Sounds good.
And good luck, and let us know what happens in the near future.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, Nicole. Did you screen another caller?
But of course I did.
Oh, the commitment phobia. I can't stand it anymore.
I know, and I'm so happy I'm not one of those people anymore.
I know. Doesn't it feel really good now? Can you just say that again? It feels really good not to be a commitment phobic.
It really does feel very good not to be a commitment phobic. It's
I
just
know,
so much more that you get to just do with yourself when you stop that. I'm telling you guys, I'm right.
Right, and of course, it seems to be, you know, they're so predictable in their behavior, these commitment phobics. They all think they're dark, mysterious, and hard to understand. Get over it. It's so predictable. It's frightening.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, exactly. I think that a lot of people, I mean, I know that myself, I mean, specifically for myself, I know that I can honestly say that when I was, you know, when I was pulling my crap, because really crap is what it is, so I'm just going to call it, you know, I'm just going to call it like it is. You know, I mean, I thought that you know, well, you know, because I went through this and because I went through that, that therefore I'm right and therefore, you know, I'm not being commitment phobic, I'm being cautious. And I came up with every excuse in the book to not really put myself out there and to not have to own up to feeling the feelings that I was feeling, you know. And then now in retrospect or whatever, once I saw something that I wanted, I didn't like it so much when the person that I actually saw that I wanted, I really didn't like it coming from her. And I'm like, holy crap. Is this really what I've been putting other people through? You know, because they, I mean, you know, even with my girlfriend and I now, you know, I mean, it was a long road to get to where we were. I had to overcome issues. She had to overcome issues. I had been asking for everything that this girl has, you know, except for the whole ready, willing, and able thing. She was ready. I mean, she wasn't quite ready. She wasn't quite willing. She was most certainly able. You know, but we both had issues to overcome, and luckily, because of you, Cindy, really, I mean, I kind of confronted my own fear, and I explained to her what my own fears were.
And did I not call you on your behavior?
Yes, you did,
you know,
every week. Yes, you did. You're like, oh, knock it off, and I'm like, yeah, you're okay, Cindy, and I took it with a grain of salt, and I did, you know, and then finally, you know, I mean, I owned my own behavior, and I owned, you know, my past, and I said, you know what, I can't do anything about the past. The past is done. You know, I can do something about the future, and unless I want the past to start repeating itself, I might as well try something different. And overall, my girlfriend felt the exact same way, where she's like, you know what? One of these days, I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to want a relationship with somebody who has everything that Nicole has, and Nicole's going to be gone, and she's not going to be there, and will I ever find it again because I already threw it away once? You know, and then that was a real eye-opener for her, too, when we worked through our issues together. And I'm guaranteeing you guys, if you work through these issues, it will so be worth it for you. You know?
Exactly. And if you demand more.
Exactly.
And if you demand more, put your foot to, you know, say, look, put your 2 feet in here and let's see what's here. Have a little courage. What, you know, that's what it takes. Now, could you just over to 7 for a minute? Because I know that's TJ. And TJ has been in
we'll
the Hamptons today
to
in the Hamptons. And
hello, TJ.
How are y'all?
Hello, TJ.
How
was your day?
It was great. I'm just leaving a Plum TV. They just launched a new magazine called Plum Hampton, which I don't write for. But anyway, I'm leaving there. But I left you a message about it, but I guess you've been busy. You know, in your book, I love the chapter on commitment. The two chapters, actually, right? There's two chapters.
It's actually one is surrendering to love and one is committing to love.
Yeah, but I have a lot of people read that one chapter because it basically is. I told you when I read the book the first time that that chapter was worth the price of the book alone. And I'm not here to sell the book, though. It's a wonderful book, but you can get it on eBay or where can you get it?
You can get it on eBay, but Amazon.com is actually
Amazon.com. And eBay is more money
sometimes
for some reason.
For
you don't get any of the residuals.
But they're also going for $80 because some of them are autographed. So you don't need to pay $80. If you want it, you can send me the book and I'll sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just got into some people's eBay business then.
But anyway, dear, I'll be seeing you soon. I'm going to, you requested something unique, and I'm taking care of that. But and Nicole, thank you again for taking such good care of Cindy on these shows. And I know there's people sitting there saying, why? This guy could talk to her every day. Let us have our 1 hour. So everyone, goodbye, good night, and I'll see you all later. Ciao,
okay,
bye.
Bye. See you later, TJ.
Yes.
I told him to buy me a present today. I hope, kidding around, he probably did buy one. I said, buy me a gift.
Well, you see, well, you must know what it is because he said that you had mentioned something unique, Cindy.
Yeah, maybe a while ago. And also, I'll tell you, my own psychic abilities kicked in yesterday. I'm a member of Long Island Authors, and we had our board meeting and a little party, end of the year party. And there's always a raffle. And I said, I'm going to win that raffle. And I
and you did it, didn't you?
And I got a $100 gift certificate to a restaurant in Huntington, and I won it. I knew
nice.
I was going to win it. Isn't that good?
That is awesome.
So now I know you've probably been screening the calls. I see we have them from all over the country. I never recognize
yes,
some of
them. Yes, they really,
calls.
Really are.
Okay,
all right, we're going to shoot over to Pennsylvania. Okay, we're going to speak with Liz right now, Cindy. And she basically would like you just to give her an overall update on her Gary interaction. She hadn't heard from him in a while. All of a sudden, she heard from him again, and she wants to, you know, she wants a little update. Where is this going, if anywhere? So let's cruise over to Liz.
Okay.
Hello, Liz. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Liz. So how long hadn't you heard from Gary?
Oh, my God, it was like a month, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, boom, there it is.
I know, that's the commitment phobia. It's funny, they're really, like, so predictable. It cracks me up because, you know, they get close to us. Say you have a real, you probably had a really close time. You started to be, it was really going good. And then, like, they run away for, like, a month. If they feel like you're cornering them, you know, God forbid you ask them a question, when will I see you again, if again, and they get scared, and then they run, and then they just come back and kind of whine and dine us all over again. He loves you, this guy, but he's so afraid of love, Liz, it's not funny.
Are you serious? That's what you see?
Yeah, he's really, really afraid. How long have you been with him?
Oh, my God. It's how many lifetimes, right?
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I don't. It's like there's a real, like, old soul connection there. We knew each other years ago, and then we found each other again after 30 years. And, I mean, I was just like, hey, how you doing? I wasn't asking for anything, and he went full guns with all the, oh, my gosh, I should have married you and all this crap and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, ridiculous. It was, like, hyperspeed. And it just was setting the situation up for failure. But I've kind of moved on in the sense that I'm getting a lot more confidence and I'm feeling stronger and I'm taking better care of myself. So I'm like very cautious. I mean, yeah, I got this email and I got all this information, but I'm like, I don't know if I even want to do anything with this.
I would tell you this much. You were brought, you know, 30 years, that's 6 5-year cycles, relationships work in 5-year cycles. God brought you back together. You had your own little fears of commitment. He did too. What happens is because you are soulmates, sometimes a high love will sort of override fear for a while. And the person jumps in. They're really intoxicated with the love. They really feel like this time I can do it. But then as, you know, the dust settles, the fear starts to rise, and that's why Gary started to run. At this point, have you told him that this is not what you want? It's not acceptable for him to come and go?
No, I'm just doing my own thing. I'm not even going to give him, I don't want to sound like I'm playing any games, because I'm not. I'm just at the point in my life where I don't want to give anybody any satisfaction. When you get to be that age, if you can't figure it out, then it's not my problem.
Right, and that's exactly it. Knock it off and get over your life.
No, I'm not going to feed this. Huh?
You're not going to feed this because what it is
like,
this
it's like an ego trip. I'm not. I refuse. I'm not. Yeah, it's like feeding the monster. I'm just, you know, maybe let him sweat a little bit. I don't know. That might sound silly to say, but I'm just working on me right now.
And good, because that's the whole thing. If we don't love ourselves, heal ourselves, know ourselves, then it isn't going to work. And you know, he cares about you. If he were a healed being, he'd be with you. But look, he's like too old to play this game. And it's, you know, hardcore commitment phobias can do this dance for 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, or their entire life.
Yeah.
For you, you deserve better. I do see you falling in love. He was sort of a transition soulmate, one that was meant to open your heart that, yes, I want love, but to make you see that love without commitment was going to be pain. So this time, you know, be sure to put out the universe you want a soulmate. We do have about 30 of them. There's no doubt that Gary was a soulmate. It's not one now because soulmate love equals love and peace and joy and commitment and healing.
Yeah.
He's not committing. He's not bringing you love and joy and peace right now. So it's kind of toxic.
He's very much consumed with things that I would classify as being superficial.
Right. Well, he's an absolute narcissist. And,
oh, definitely.
You know,
oh, yeah. But, you know, if you really want to go into it, isn't that usually somebody who's insecure? They have to work so hard at their image. Deep down, they have a lot of issues. I don't know. Maybe that's just my take on it.
And that's right. But it's also a very superficial level on the ladder of love. It's rung 3 on the ladder of love. It's any woman's interchangeable with another, any pretty woman's interchangeable with another, any man with money and power is interchangeable with another. It's all about the things that rise and fall and inauthentic power. It's not about soulmate. And so what he really was shocked by, because he's always played on that sort of rung of love, and you come along and you're a soulmate and you sort of knock him off his feet. But then he got scared. Now he's sort of back on that rung again, you know, probably, you know, online, Match.com, you know, shopping
for
the Barbie doll.
I'm sorry. Nothing against those sites, but I see people.
No, but they shop from like you're shopping for a Barbie doll. You know what I mean?
And you know, there's no real means to an end with that. It's a joke.
Well, a lot of times,
I think they're forced to look at themselves at the end of the day with all that, which is probably the hardest thing to face.
Right, and of course, a lot of commitment phobics go on there, and they, you know, there's 400 people interested in him, and he's so thrilled. But you know, he got scared. If I were you, I'd pretty much tell him this is not what I'm signing on for. This is not what I want.
Well, I'm not even really responding. That's why I was asking you, what's going on in his head? What does he want? I mean,
Well, you know, he's going to come back a little stronger, you know, and try to get you back because he just, you know, wants to string you along. Just keep not responding to him. And when he finally, you know, does enough contact, and you could just say, look, I can't have this where you come and go in my life. So, you know, I'm looking for a committed relationship. I don't think you're capable of doing it. And just really tell it like it is.
Yeah.
People can't deal with, you know, sometimes they just can't deal with the simple truth. And if that's what you're looking for, you don't want this. But don't feel foolish. He really felt those feelings. He really felt soulfully connected. He wasn't using you or lying to you. This is a lie, what he's doing now. lying like he doesn't care about you, or that, you know, he just didn't think about you for a month.
Mm.
That wasn't the case. He thought about you a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he's an absolute control freak. Love is not about control. You have to surrender to it. And, you know, commitment phobics, hardcore ones, you know, maybe, you know, surrender for a minute. He did surrender to the love for the first, you know, brief period of a month or two, and now he's just,
well, let me ask
really
one more. Why do men respond to women that are a little edgy? It seems like if you're nice, like, you know, I listen to you talk to women. I've been in the same boat, the ones that were depressed. We had the anger turns inward, blah, blah, blah. But it's like they're the ones that get crapped on left and right because men just look at them like, you know, like, and I've been there, but I'm just, like, tired of being that way. Why do they respond to you when you're a little, like, on the bitchy side? I don't know. Maybe it's
their mother issues.
I know exactly what that is.
What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, come on, Nicole. Because
I know exactly what that is.
Enlighten me, Nicole.
And I can tell you right now it has nothing to do with men or women, okay? Because it's the type of person, and what it could very well be is because at this point in your life, you're kind of jaded a little bit, you know? You've been down many different roads, and now you're just looking for the road, you know? It might just be the kind of people that you're attracting because of your experience. Because I can tell you right now that anybody that responds to somebody who is bitchy, Not so much edgy, but who is bitchy or whatever, and follows that whole cliche of, you know, well, guys only like bitchy girls and this and that and everything else or whatever, and vice versa, okay, or girls like guys that treat them like crap. All those people are doing by doing that is they're perpetuating the commitment phobia. They're perpetuating relationships that they know will never last so that they can martyr themselves and be like, oh, well, I was so good to this person. I was so great to this person, and they treated me like this. And it's a martyr syndrome. It's just a way for them to not take responsibility for themselves not putting 2 feet into a relationship by choosing people that they know are either physically or emotionally unavailable for them.
Interesting. Well, on a more positive note,
and they
note,
also
what about,
sometimes, it's a power thing, and bitchy people sometimes come across like, oh, they must have something because, you know, they're like the little Hitlers, you know, it's like the Hitler syndrome, you know, the little high chair dictators, and, you know, it's funny, people sometimes think bitchy people like, oh, they must know something, they've got all this bitchy confidence.
Well, then how do you get
the
happy meeting where you're a strong woman, you're not a doormat? I mean, there's got to be a happy medium somewhere because...
Well, that's what it is, being strong, saying what you mean, don't be mean about it.
Right.
Certainly, the bitchiness, you can't become what you're not. I'm not a bitch. You know, you're not a bitch.
I know I'm not, but I don't want to be
a bitch. You know what? There's a difference between being a bitch and being strong.
Okay.
Exactly.
You know, there is a complete difference between being bitchy and being strong. You can be a strong woman without being a bitch. You know, I mean, it's simply, basically, all that has to do with having the courage to just stand up to say, you know what, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to get. And if you're not going to be the provider of this, well, then take care. I'm going to go find it elsewhere.
That's great. I deserve nothing less than what I want. That's awesome.
And I'll tell you something interesting, Liz, about bitches. I always saw that. You know, I used to be a children's entertainer. So for years I would go to very wealthy people's homes. And, you know, I'd be dressed like Cinderella or, you know, Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. Like, Dorothy was the costume you wouldn't want to be caught dead in, right? Okay, so anyway, I went to this house in Southampton. And the people were so filthy rich, and I'm dressed like Dorothy. And the woman is a bitch, you know, the wife, snapping her fingers. These really handsome, wealthy guys jumping through hoops for her as she's bitching. And I thought, what have I done wrong? This woman has everything. Well, let me tell you the ending of the story.
Uh-oh.
The husband walks me out to pay me. Meanwhile, I'm dressed like Dorothy, okay? And he says to me, here's my private number. Call me.
Lord.
And I thought, there it is. There it is. These men have their own guilt. They're cheating on these women, and they can justify it by saying she's a bitch.
Yep.
And so that was
fetish.
One thing
that's
that,
the first I've heard of that one. Did he
once
right,
again.
Did he ask you to bring
and it was
photo?
An eye-open, a very eye-opening experience for me not
creepy.
To envy somebody.
Yeah.
And that on the surface,
once again, the emotionally unavailable people or people that make themselves emotionally unavailable, it's an excuse. It's nothing more than an excuse on either side.
So, you know, those are the things that, you know, maybe it appears like she had everything. But, you know, ultimately he looked like the perfect husband jumping through hoops.
And, you know, meanwhile, if he's passing me a card, and another funny part about it was what I noted in these houses, often of very wealthy, wealthy, bitchy women, the nanny's bedroom was always next to the husband's office in the basement.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
wow,
you know?
Wow, that's messed
good
up.
Lord. Yeah, how about it? Well, I thank you for all your time.
Well, good luck and have a happy Memorial Day.
Yep, you too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, I see that we have some other callers.
We do, and I have actually already screened a few. I'm actually attempting to queue one up right now. It was a little tricky getting it on because we have a caller from Portugal tonight.
Wow.
Portugal.
I love it.
So do I. We're going to go over to Ricardo right now. Okay, and his girlfriend had broken up with him just about a week ago, and he wants to know if anything is going to change with that. He sounds very, very upset about this, and, you know, he needs your advice, Cindy. He wants to know if anything's going to change for Ricardo here. So let's go over to Portugal now, guys. And he's got a very nice accent, too, I must say.
Wow.
Hello, Ricardo.
Hello.
Hi, Ricardo. So I can see that you are a little bit overwhelmed by this. How long were you with her?
1 year.
Okay, because what's going on here is you have to be a little bit strong here because she's a person who, it's not a question of her not caring about you. It's she doesn't know what she wants at all. Are you aware of that? Did she tell you, I don't know what I want?
Yes, she told me.
Okay, and how old is she, by the way?
19.
Okay, so she's young, and how old are you?
24.
Okay, because I could see in the cards that you are definitely more mature than her. She looks like she has one or two friends who are not the best influence on her. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I know.
Who are jealous of you and the relationship that she had with you. And so they're sort of undermining it by telling her, you know, maybe you don't want this. Maybe, you know, you should look around and see what's there. It looks like she's going to return to you, but there does look like there's another guy she's talking to. Do you know about that?
No, I didn't know.
Because she's probably not telling you the truth because, you know, that's part of why she's not sure what she wants. Believe me, this guy is not good. It's really going to be very toxic, and at that point, she may, you know, want to return to you. But it's up to you to stand a little firm about her. Did she say she doesn't want to talk to you at all?
Yes, she told me that today.
Okay, and most of the time, women don't leave a man unless there's another man there. And in her case, it seems to be some of the friends that she has and, you know, they sort of influenced her that you're too young to connect. Just be strong. She is going to miss you. You appear to be a very generous, hardworking man in these cards. Is that correct?
Yes.
And no, and she used to tell you she loved you, correct?
Correct.
Because that hasn't changed, but there's a lot of conflict and you know, she has to look inward and see what she wants. She's just a person who is a little on the immature side. She's a strong girl. It's not that, but she is easily influenced by others. She didn't give you a solid reason as to why?
She said that she can handle it, and then she broke up.
Right, and again, you need a little bit of courage because you're a man who's not afraid of commitment, who wanted a committed relationship, but I think it's something that's happening all around the world. Your generation is really afraid of love. A lot of times, you know, they're afraid of getting in a relationship they can't get out of or marrying the wrong person. Ultimately, you're going to have a wife and children, and pretty much in the near future. Is that what you're looking for now?
Yes.
Because that's what's going to happen. And it's not a lack of love here. She really does love you. It's just that she really is afraid of commitment. There's a man who died that knows her well. he wasn't old when he died. Do you know who that would be?
No.
Because this person seems to be saying she's really just afraid of love. And you need a little bit of courage. You know, you can't have her walking back in your life, you know, a week from now and pretending everything's okay and then she does it again. Do you know what I mean? It has to be pretty clear to you that, you know, that you have to be firm with her, that you're looking for that commitment and that's what you want. I don't see her coming back immediately, but the friends and the guy that thinks she's interested isn't going to last long. He's really the prince that's going to become the beast. He really is a very manipulative man. But she probably isn't going to tell you that, because if you knew there was another man, you probably wouldn't go back with her that easily, correct?
Correct.
So she's not totally being truthful for you, to you. Did you suspect that she was going to break up with you?
Yes, she was becoming strange, and I thought that was someone else. I feeling it, so.
And yeah, and that's why we need to trust our gut, because you're an old soul, I'm an old soul, Nicole's an old soul, and a characteristic of older souls is people could lie right to our face. They tell us, no, there's nobody else. But our gut is telling us something. Listening to your gut is very important. And, you know, you're a nice man, and Latino men and Italian men notoriously were the ones who had their cake and eat it too. They were the ones cheating on women. But the nicer new breed of Italian and Latino men want to be loyal and trustworthy. But the point is, the women are becoming the cake and eat it too. They're the ones who are, you know, not telling the truth and cheating. And for you, I don't want you to be that kind of a man who's being taken advantage of. And so, you know, trusting your gut that she has somebody else, and it doesn't mean you can never go back with her. Maybe if she came to you and told you the truth and said, look, I really realized how much I missed you. But just follow your gut. She was acting weird because she wasn't sure what she wanted to do. And just know that your gut doesn't lie, that there is definitely somebody else there. And just put it out there that you want someone who wants to commit to you and you want to commit back. You have a really good future here. I know this has broken your heart because you do love her, and it did start out that whole heart, soul, mind, body connection. You felt that with her, didn't you?
Yes, I feel.
And, you know, you guys are soulmates, and sometimes people are just afraid of a higher love, Ricardo, because the higher love demands that they heal their issues, they commit, and sometimes people just run from it because they're afraid. And, you know, do you know anything about her parents? Because it doesn't look like they had the best marriage at all here.
No, they split when she was young.
Right, and because of that, she's afraid of love, and you know, she swore she, you know, when we were little, we watch our parents' marriage and we'll say, if I were married, he'd never cheat on me because I'd be so lovey-dovey. If I were married, I'd know how to fix him. She's, you know, actually becoming her dad. You know, her dad was a pretty manipulative, cake-and-eat-it-too kind of man. So there's some lessons for her to learn here. And what she's trying to figure out is, you know, why her parents couldn't make it work. And she's sort of reliving that here with you. So, you know, it's up to you to really stay firm. If she calls you in like a week from now, say, what's your intention in calling me? We're not friends. I want to still be your lover, so you're not my friend. You know, why are you calling me? Because she may get scared and call you, but I want you to, you know, just stand firm on the fact that she isn't being truthful to you. Do you have mutual friends that know her?
No.
So that's
not that I talk.
No, because then you couldn't really ask anybody. She knows that she can sort of get away with telling you this. So, you know, in the future, you're definitely going to have a really good love affair. Whether it's her or not, it's too early to tell, because you need to give her a little time to see what she does. But I don't want you to beat yourself over the head that you did anything wrong, because you really didn't. And you're a very loyal and trustworthy guy. In the future, you're going to have a wonderful wife. Money looks very, very good in your future. Again, there's not much you can do when somebody isn't being truthful other than trust your gut. And that's one thing I need you to really do, trust your gut.
Okay.
So good luck to you. And, you know, do you want her back? Is that what you want?
I want, but knowing that she is with someone else, it's a little complicated to my mind.
It is complicated. And again, that's why, you know, you almost have to say to her, I don't believe that there isn't anybody there. There probably is, and I wish you had been honest with me. She's just thinking this, like she's thinking like a man. Like, you know, men, they never told women they were cheating. What we don't know won't hurt us. And if, you know, in case I want to come back, I can walk back because he doesn't know what I've been up to. So, you know, she's sort of covering her bases. And I need to tell you that the guy she's with is pretty jealous and was getting mad and was telling her, you better tell him. So she sort of had her arm twisted to do this because she was kind of going to string you, you know, both along a little bit longer.
Okay.
So, you know, he's a pretty jealous guy. So that's something that, you know, she was sort of forced to tell you that she wasn't going to see you anymore.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and please call us in the future and let us know what happens here.
Yes, I will call you.
Good luck to
you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, my God, what a to-die-for accent. Any, you know, there's probably a million women listening right now to that guy saying, Ricardo, come my way, you're looking what I'm looking for. Now, you see, I'm glad we had...
Didn't I say it was a nice accent for me to say it?
Yes, and of course, now we can see that the women are also playing the games that men used to play. Nicole, you're knowing that, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, well, that's why I even told our last caller that, you know what, it doesn't have to do with, you know, like I said, because she had posed the question of why do men like, you know, but it's not just the men, ladies. You know, women do the same thing with other women, you know, men do the same thing with other men, and men and women do the same thing together. It has nothing to do with gender. The same mistakes are being made with gay male couples, gay female couples, and heterosexual couples across the board. Okay, it's not about gender. It's about fear. It's about, you know, learned behavior that now you need to unlearn, and it's about really opening yourself up. You know, it's not about gender.
And it's really, you know, trying to be a little bit honest. I mean, Nicole, you've been doing this show. We've been doing it like more than 2 years. Do you not see the same patterns of behavior of somebody saying there's nobody
Oh, totally.
Else, I'm just breaking up with you for no reason?
Totally.
No
Absolutely.
Reason
well,
whatsoever.
And again, you know, like a lot of the callers, you know, always ring true to me, you know, and I hear myself giving them advice, and it was advice that I really wish I had taken when other people were the ones giving it to me, you know, because obviously I've had my share of ups and downs, and I've had my share of heartaches and heartbreaks, you know, as far as being a commitment phobic, you know, I stayed in a relationship that I knew was dead end for way too long, you know, I allowed myself to be strung along, I allowed certain behavior to become okay to me that really were not okay, you know, when all was said and done. I mean, I have been through the gamut, you know, I've done it all, you know, I mean, and I'm sure that there's more I haven't experienced yet. Hopefully, you know, in the later portion of my life, it'll be more good experiences. But, you know, I mean, once I started just relinquishing to the fact that I can only control my own behavior and following and playing by those rules, I'm a lot happier of a person, you know? And now it's like I hear these people, and it's just kind of like, oh, well, I don't want to tell them this, and I don't want to do this, and I don't. You stop saying what you don't want. What do you want? And go after
right,
that.
Exactly. And it's that whole point that we've said over and over again. You're only responsible for your behavior. That's the whole premise of Grant Me a Higher
yep.
Love. I can't control if you're a commitment phobic, but I can control whether I'm going to sit here and be hurt. I can control
exactly.
whether I'm going to say this is okay. If you want to be a commitment phobic, that's fine. Find somebody who's also that. But
well,
if you
and it
really
also comes down. It also comes, Cindy, down to the fact that if somebody is mistreating you, or even if they're just not giving you the attention that you deserve, you know, if they're not doing, you know, things that you really need them to do for you, by you not opening up your mouth, you're condoning the behavior and you're saying that the behavior is okay. You have to stand up, and if you want anybody to respect you, you must respect yourself enough to say, hey, listen, this is unacceptable.
Right, and it's that, you know, we're responsible for our own behavior. If we want a better relationship, then we have to expect to be treated better. And if someone professes to love me, why won't you be nice to me? Why won't you do the things that I'm asking? Call me back. I mean, that's fundamental. That is fundamental common human courtesy. Call back. And, well, I do have an expression, and you know it. I say silence speaks volumes for those with ears to hear. If someone's not calling you, they don't want me.
Exactly.
I might not know the reasons why they don't want me, but I know
The reasons.
Right, but this is just a person who doesn't want me, because people who want people call them back. And sometimes they just can't commit to even an answer. And, you know, sometimes they just don't want to say anything, because this way they're not sure if they want to lose us, if they want to love us. So this way, if they say nothing, they have all their bases covered.
Exactly.
They haven't said anything wrong.
It's like, well, why'd you go? I didn't tell you to go. Well, you didn't tell me to stay either. You know, I didn't tell you to do that. Yeah, you didn't tell me not to do that. So.
Well, I see we have a lot of callers. Did you screen one?
We do, and we have about 8 minutes remaining. So I'm going to go over to Melvin, and then hopefully we will do an unscreened last caller, because I don't want to get somebody all queued up if we're not going to make it. So
right.
Let's cruise over to Melvin in Georgia. And he had a friend staying with him who he absolutely loved and adored, but he just couldn't continue letting her stay with him because he was in love with her. She apparently did not reciprocate, so he kind of terminated that aspect of the relationship. And now he wants to know whether or not this woman is ever going to come around or whether or not she's being a commitment phobe or not.
Wow, good question.
Hello, Melvin. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi, Melvin. That was a good question. Were you romantically involved at one point?
Not with her, no, ma'am. We started off being friends, and she had been staying with me before. And, like, last Christmas, Thanksgiving, and New Year's, and all that, all the holidays. And we had stopped talking for about maybe 6-7 months, and all of a sudden we started back, and she moved in after the semester was over, and I was just letting her know that, you know, she know that I do like her, I do love her, and I want to be with her, and I was seeing like I was trapped in my own home, so I couldn't handle the situation. Like, she was here, and there's nothing compatible, like, for she's not feeling what I'm feeling towards me,
correct.
Me.
She's
and,
a little bit of a user. Are you aware of that? She takes advantage of people. I'll use a different expression. She's a taker. There's two kinds of people on the planet, the takers and the givers. You're a giver.
Right.
And she's a taker, and it'll never be 50-50 with her because she's a person who will always take. It's not that she doesn't care about you, because she does. It's just that she's a woman who's, you know, really after all she can get. She wants to take all and give nothing.
Right.
She's the kind of woman who would marry a very wealthy man that she doesn't love just because she wants to take what she can.
Right.
There's not a, you know, she does care about you, she does like you, but she isn't going to let that happen because you're not her, like, you know, on the narcissistic rung of, on the ladder of love, you don't have enough money or power for her. And that might be hard for you to take and digest, but, you know, she's pretty young yet, so, you know, maybe the universe will bring her what she thinks she wants. And it will fail her, and she will then see that there's something better. But she's a person who, she's actually a little mad at you that you made her move out. Are you aware of that?
She's what now?
Mad at you because you made her move out.
Oh, I think so, yeah. She won't return my calls or texts. Well, she texted me twice saying that, you know, why did I, you know, let her go out, you know, let her leave, And I explained to her my feelings and emotions, and it was stressing me out. And to see you sitting around, laying around in my house, and there's no very little communication. And I just couldn't deal with it. But I started feeling bad because I'm a good person. And I called her up and told her, you know, you're welcome to come back and stay until the semester start back in college. So, but she responded, you know, like, you know, no, she's not going to go through that again. So I don't know if she's pulling my leg.
But you see, she's a very ungrateful girl. She made you feel bad that you told her to leave. I mean, she's a person who's a very big manipulator, and there are, you know, two kinds of people on the planet, the good to a fault and the manipulators. She's manipulating you, and, you know, there was a potential for you guys to hook up heart, soul, mind, and body, but she didn't want it, and now she's really back to her old behaviors, and she's punishing you, you know, for telling her to leave. She's not a very nice person, I have to be honest. In these cards, she's not a nice person. And you really are a nice person. And, you know, you deserve someone who is kinder and not going to take all and give nothing. And it's going to be a little hard for you to get over it, but you had to get her out of the house. First of all, how could you even start dating anybody else and bring them in the house when she's living there? You know, you couldn't do that. So.
Right.
This is a time for you to move forward in your life. You didn't do anything wrong by asking her to move out because it was making your life so you can't move forward, you can't move back. It's just kind of going sideways. So I think you have some friends who also don't like her very much. Did they tell you she used people?
No, not yet. No one ever told me she used people, but she always seemed to have a lot of issues and money issues and stuff. And I'm like, well, I mean, what you want me to do about it? But it's just like I was definitely attracted to her and still is, but I just, you know, like, why can I get this woman out of my system? Why can I just let her go and be free from that? Because I pretty much knew that she was sort of, you know, kind of scheming on me, but I just had to, you know, set my boundaries. But I can kind of pretty much tell when a person trying to use me, and I truly believe that, you know, didn't want to believe it, but that was the case.
Well, she was, and get the blinders off. You fell in love with a woman who doesn't exist. She showed you, you brought out the best in her. That's what older souls do. If you and I were dining with Hitler and Mussolini in 1944, they'd be great guys. We would bring out the best in them. That doesn't mean they're great guys. You brought out the best in her momentarily, but she really is a very narcissistic, manipulative, selfish, greedy, and ungrateful girl. And so, you know, getting her out of the house was the first step toward you. You know, getting her out of your system. You don't have to stop loving her or force yourself to stop loving her. But it's just that you haven't found a good woman to take her place yet. So, you know, don't rush trying to stop loving her. That'll make you crazy. But start meditating on the fact that the woman you fell in love with doesn't really exist.
Right.
You know, it was something that you brought out.
Right.
Well, good luck to you, and please call us and let us know what happens. We only have 1 minute left, so I need to shout out to everybody. Thank you so much for all our callers, and sorry we couldn't get to everybody. But and good luck to you.
Yes,
Nicole,
ma'am.
You're welcome. Nicole, do you have a shout out, my dear?
Actually, you know what, Cindy? Once again, my shout out is going to be to you. Because, you know, you did a fabulous job with all of our callers tonight. And even though I was kind of throwing a wrench at you early on, telling you that I may not get to the switchboard on time, you know, you handled it with poise instead of freaking out and everything else. And as usual, you did a wonderful, wonderful job. And TJ's a very lucky guy. So my shout-outs to you, Finn.
Oh, and I'm lucky to have TJ. I mean, he's like, you know, everybody says, oh, you have a hard job to do. And I say, you know, well, TJ's the one who recharges my batteries because without him, I don't know if I could bear all that I have to bear. Well, everyone have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and let's kick summer here in New York. We need summer. We had it yesterday.
Absolutely.
What happened today?
Please.
All right. Speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.